Well, my friends, we are here tonight to remember the last meal that our Lord and his disciples ate together. It's a rather somber time for Jesus. As we know, he was well aware of what he was about to walk into, but he did it anyway. He did it on purpose. In a way, we can say that Jesus was executed, that his life was taken from him, but in a much more real way, we know that our Lord gave himself willingly. It is actually why he came. And so as we are gathered here today, let us begin our worship service together, remembering the day that we were brought into his family. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us so much, that you came into this world with the plan of the Father, Lord, to live out a perfect life in our place, to teach us your truth, to teach us what you were doing, why you were doing it, how you feel about us, Lord, and what that incredible love has caused you to do. And Lord, today we remember this Maundy Thursday, this day when you gave your last teaching to your disciples. Pray, Lord, that you would continue to be with us tonight. Send your Spirit to work in our hearts and our minds, that we may know you better. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us sing the first hymn together. Please stand as we sing. Let us confess our sins to him, imploring him for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. God be merciful to you and strengthen your faith. Do you believe that for the forgiveness I speak is not my forgiveness, but God's? Let it be done for you as you believe. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I assure you that all of your sins have been forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You want me to read? Okay. You got it? Okay. First reading for tonight is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? It is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share in one loaf. And the sermon text for today is Mark chapter 14, verses 12 through 26. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room? Where may I eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left and went into the city and found the things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said to them, "Truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me, the one who is eating with me." So they were saddened, and one by one, they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." It is one of the twelve, he replied, "the one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would have been better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take it, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." He said to them, "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Please be seated. Things were really getting serious. I mean, just think of everything that Jesus has been through to this point. He'd been telling his disciples that the Son of Man, that he was going to go to Jerusalem, and there the Jewish people were going to turn him over to the Gentiles, and he was going to be crucified. He was going to be killed. And Jesus knew the details. I mean, he knew how serious it was and how difficult it was going to be. After all, just a few hours later, he was sweating blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. So many things had to be going through his head as he was getting closer and closer to his time of death. I mean, The strangeness of this victorious entrance into Jerusalem had to be jarring for him, knowing that a week later, less than a week later, he would be dead. And actually a week later, he would rise again. It must have been strange for the disciple, for him to have to deal with the details of life, the regular yearly annual celebration of the Passover, when the disciples walk up to him and say, "Hey, Jesus, where are we going to celebrate the Passover this year?" And what's amazing is Jesus actually had an answer. I mean, let this be honest. If it were me walking into Jerusalem knowing how I was going to die, I don't know if I would have cared about the Passover meal. That might not have rated very high on my, you know, priorities. But Jesus wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about his disciples. He was very cognizant of what was about to happen, but he wasn't worried about himself. He wasn't worried about what it meant for him. He was worried about what it meant for the people who were following him, the people who the Father had given him to lead and to teach and to prepare. And he knew that the disciples had to be taught a few more things, some really important things. And so he wanted to set the stage and put things together. And so this unbelievably cryptic way of Jesus finding a place to celebrate the Passover, find a man carrying a jar, go to the house, talk to the master of the house and ask him where the master is supposed to eat the Passover. That worked. Because Jesus made it work. And when he was sitting down at that meal with his disciples, he didn't spend a lot of time talking about himself. He didn't talk about, you know, his own needs, his own. The disciples weren't ministering to him. He was ministering to them. Is during this meal that he washed his disciples' feet. His death was imminent. And his lesson for his disciples was that of utter humility. He taught his disciples a new commandment. It's actually the reason that we call this day Maundy Thursday. It comes from the same root from mandate. It's the idea that here is the command that I want you to carry forward from this night. That I want you to love one another as I have loved you. And we're about to see exactly what that means. And then Jesus does something really strange. And we're so used to it that we don't really think about the strangeness of it. But Jesus took the cup. Or no, first he took the bread. And he took the bread and he breaks it and he gives it to his disciples. And he says, "Take and eat this. This is my body." Which is pretty strange. And then later he takes the cup, which has wine in it. We know this because it's the thing, it's the Passover meal. He takes the cup and he gives it to his disciples and he says, "This is my blood." He gives his disciples this meal at the last meal that he gets to eat with these people that follow him. The last meal before he dies. One of the most important things, he saved it right for the end. Because he knew that he was not going to be with his disciples very much after this. Sure, there was going to be a few talks that they were going to have after the resurrection, before the ascension into heaven. But this was this essential, really important time when Jesus was like, they're going to remember this. After this, after tomorrow morning, after, you know, Jesus is hanging on the cross, they're going to remember this, our last time together. And Jesus gave them this meal. And he said, just do this for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this because you need this. In this meal, God, Jesus, gave us a blessing. And when God gives blessings, we really need to take note. We need to notice. We need to take it seriously, because this is the God of all creation giving us something that he knows we need. And in this meal, God provides fallen Christians with forgiveness. The thing that we need the most. That when we come to his house, we come broken, we come flawed, we come damaged, we come because in all this way because of the things that we choose, the things that we do, the ways that we fall short of God's glory. And he meets us and responds to our fallenness with grace and love and forgiveness and acceptance. And he gives us a meal. And in this meal, we are strengthened. Which is another thing that we desperately need as Christians in this fallen world. Living as Christians in this world is not easy. It is difficult, it is hard, it is frustrating, it is like as soon as we think we're doing okay, that's when we fall down. We never seem to be able to get it right. We're always struggling, and it's the things that we enjoy the most that often become the thing that trips us up. It is just so maddeningly frustrating because we want to do what's right, but we never can quite get it right. And it's all these things that we're trying to avoid that we keep falling back into. And it just makes you want to pull your hair out. But because we just seems like we never can live up to the law that God has given us. And the fact is we can't. But because of the faith that God has given us and the response that we have to the love that we have received, that love that we, with which we respond to God, we want to do what's right. And our God is so amazing. He is such a great provider that he even helps us with that. And he does it through this meal. He gives us strength. He gives us food, he shores us up, and then we go back out into the world, but we don't do it alone. We do it with the one that lives within us, the one who strengthens us, the one who has prepared before us works to do to bring glory to him. We get to have important, meaningful, valuable lives because the God that adopted us into his family gives us meaningful, important, and valuable work to do. And the most important thing God has given us to do is to love the people around us, the people that God has given us to love, because when we do that, we are building up another person that God loves. And that person lasts forever. So many things in this life don't. You know, I mean, I'll work for like many, many hours keeping my old rusty cars running. But the one thing I'll tell you is they won't run forever, right? You know, we're going to work like crazy in our careers right up until we retire and the career is over, right? We're going to work. Everything that we have is... We all see it. It's going away. The one thing that's not going to go away is the people that God has created in God himself. And the reason that God, this is it. When Jesus was heading toward his death, He did not think of himself, but he thought of the people that the Father had given him to love. And he provided for them. And then he said, love as I have loved you. And so my encouragement to you is this. As you walk through this life, yeah, there's a lot of things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to go grocery shopping and cook food and do chores and laundry. And, you know, you're going to have to do these very, very normal things in life. But the reason we do those things is so that we will be prepared for the work that God has for us. And the work that God has for us is to love as we have been loved. And when we are given the opportunity to love, do it without thought for yourself. Love deeply, just as Christ loved us. Give generously. Sacrifice yourself if necessary. He did it for us. And because he died for us, we have the certainty of heaven. We know that we are going to be in a good place. And let's face it, that is really what retirement is all about, right? I mean, the real pension is heaven. They've got good health care there. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And because we know that heaven is coming, it gives us liberty to struggle more on this planet. We can do without here because we know that we are going there. So many people live for retirement. I tell you, don't live for retirement, live for heaven. Work until you can't anymore. You know, if you're still on this planet, God still has work for you to do. Still has people for you to love. And as we have been loved, so we shall. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this Passion Week. We thank you, Lord, that we get to walk with you as you get closer to the cross. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you were thinking so much of your disciples at this last meal, Lord, and that even a little bit later when you're praying in Gethsemane, you don't just pray for your disciples, but then you go on and say, I don't just pray for them, but I pray for everybody who will come to faith through them, that you prayed for us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us, that just as you loved us then, you love us today. Help us, Lord, to live out that faith, live out that love in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. And after every petition, I will end every petition with, Lord, in your mercy, and you will respond with, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that at this supper, this last meal that you had together with your disciples, that you were there to serve. And it was in keeping with everything, Lord, that you had done throughout your entire life, that you, when you were born as a baby in Bethlehem in a manger, Lord, that you had come to serve. And every day in between, you served the people around you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue to love the way you taught us to love, that we would serve, that we would give, that we would have minds that focus on others and not on ourselves, so that we can carry out this work that you have given us to do of encouraging one another and bearing witness, Lord, of all you have done for us. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would continue to be with all those in our congregation who are struggling with health issues, Lord. Lord, I pray especially for Paul Zeebel and Wayne Sprick, Lord, as they are continuing to recover. Lord, be with them. Give them strength. Shore up their bodies, Lord, so that they can return to the lives that you have for them and the service and your service, Lord, that that they would like to do for you. Pray that you would be with their families. Continue to give them strength as well. Help them to be strong so that they can continue to support their loved ones. Lord, all this we pray in your mercy. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with the families of our congregations. Lord, it's so wonderful to see so many little children being raised in the faith, having your word and your grace instilled in their hearts. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with each one of the little people, Lord, and that you would guide these little lambs to yourself. And Lord, I pray that you would also be with their parents, Lord, and their grandparents. Help us all to continue to grow in the faith so that we can continue to help others grow in the faith, Lord. Just bless us, Lord, as we follow you together, Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we thank you for this wonderful school that you have given us and all the wonderful children that we get to serve. I pray that you would continue to encourage our teachers, Lord. Give them strength, give them endurance, Lord. Give them passion so that they can to work at the task you have given them with passion and not with any kind of reluctance, so that the children that they are serving, Lord, the families that they are serving will be well served and will come into contact with your great love through them. Lord, in your mercy. And we pray the prayer you gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you, this do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Peace that flows from
My friends, we have once again come to the table of God. We have celebrated this meal that Jesus gave his disciples and by extension, all of us at that last meal that he ate with his disciples. And he told his disciples at that meal that this would be the last time that he would drink of the fruit of the vine until he drank it with all of us in heaven. And so while this meal is a remembrance, while this meal is looking back at what Jesus did, while this meal is a reception of the forgiveness that Jesus earned for us on that cross, it is also the appetizer of the heavenly meal that we are going to eat with God when we are gathered together with him and all the saints on that last day. It gives us something to look forward to. And so as we know that our God's promise is true and that through this meal we have received all that he has promised, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the doxology tonight. As we continue to celebrate this Holy Week, this week where we are watching and experiencing with Christ the passion of his final week, I encourage you and invite you to come to the Good Friday service tomorrow, the service of darkness, where we will be able to continue to mark his passion for us. Just go in the mercy and grace and love of our Jesus. Amen.